might have life and have it abundantly. There's something so powerful about the image of abundant life, isn't there? Something so appealing about the thought of our Lord Jesus. Jesus doesn't seek only life for us, but abundant life, something full, something more than we might even imagine. Jesus shares this vivid metaphor of sheep and shepherds and gates, pastures. These images are ancient, long before even Jesus was born. They can be found as far back as Egypt, the pharaohs of Egypt, who saw themselves as having this divine and royal responsibility, not only for the keeping of their state, but also for the care of their own people. And we see this also within Israel, ancient Israel, when we see David, who became Israel's greatest king, King David, the same David who is eternally associated with our psalm this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And now today we are invited by the gospel to think of Jesus as our shepherd, the shepherd who demonstrates this fearsome commitment to his sheep, even being prepared to sacrifice of himself so that those who are in his charge are cared for and loved and protected. We see such a love in the Palestinian shepherd who would have shared all the hardships of his own flock, constantly alert to the dangers of attack. The way of the shepherd was unlikely and full of hardship. It left them on the margins of society. Even the temple Pharisees thought them to be unclean because of what they did. And certainly they were poor prospects as family men, given that the protection of the flock would have involved their own families being left vulnerable at night. See, being a shepherd is a 24/7 type of a calling, and so it is with Jesus. Now, all too often we domesticate Jesus by ourselves, and even domesticate him by being the church. Jesus lived this countercultural type lifestyle in which it took him away from all security afforded by being in community, daring to express by words and actions the grace of God for all people in ways that scandalized the temple rulers and those higher ups in that society. And so rather than exalting the princes or religious leaders, what do we see Jesus doing? He was often found with the most rank of outsiders, telling even them that they had a stake in this kingdom of God. And through it all, he was attracting the notice of predators, the predators of his day. Predators who would eventually get their way, and Jesus being hounded into a public execution, causing even his own family to question the path that he had been on. Remember those verses from Scripture. And all of it for myself and for you, with this focus, as intent as any shepherd who wanted to protect his own flock from danger. This is our Lord Jesus. And even so, all these things are rather comforting, aren't they? Shepherd images tend to have that effect on us as followers of our risen Lord. And this is good for us because it is important for everyone to know that Jesus is looking out for us, that he is for us as much in times when we are off the path and outside of the flock as we are directly stepping with him, foot by foot, on the path that he leads. So all of that said, let's try not to ignore the challenge that comes from Jesus being the shepherd of the sheep. For anyone familiar with sheep and their herding, you actually know the work that's involved in that type of a profession. Now, in our earlier years, when we were new to the faith and without benefit of the facts of sheep shepherding, we could have thought that all it really takes for a good shepherd is to just call, and the sheep would come to him. Wouldn't that be nice? But that's not the way, is it? The more accurate view requires just a bit more honesty. There are actually three things that one needs to know about sheep herding, at least those sheep herders in the parts of the country that I'm familiar with, Oklahoma. First is that outside of the sheepfold, outside of it, the leader is generally on the side or in the rear of the sheep flock. Interesting. Second is that the herder does, in fact, use his voice as a kind of beacon to the sheep. And some sheep actually do respond to the sound of this sonorous voice of the shepherd. But here's the thing. The most common action of a herder, at least in my part of the country, is not the sweet stroke of a gentle hand along the back of a sheep, not a scratch between those little woolly ears. No. The most common action of the shepherd is to use the pole end of his staff to tap on the backside of the sheep to get the ones who have taken an unhelpful and unscheduled siesta moving along a little bit quicker. Sometimes it's not a tap either, is it? Now, oddly enough, there should be comfort and recognition in these actions for us as followers of Christ. Again, comfort in the sense that if we choose to follow, and it is a choice, we will be carried along within this flock of Christ. The shepherd has his intention of allowing us not too far outside of those bounds, that rugged groove of Christianity that we all aspire to. We hear the voice of our shepherd through worship, through prayer, and the volume of God's word proclaimed, do we not? And finally, and here's where the honesty must continue to play a large part in our faith walk, our spiritual journey. There is comfort, even in the encouragement of the pole. Lord knows we need encouragement from time to time. Is this not true? Think about it. Do we honestly believe that we have made enough progress in our spiritual journey to forego the occasional kick to keep us moving, to keep us focused? Now, every shepherd knows the unscheduled siesta of those sheep many times turns into I have walked as far as I'm going to, and that is it, type of a sit down. Or in sheep's terms, the legs locked, the backside drooped in a posture of an animal that's not going anywhere, no farther. So, allow me to leave the images aside and speak plainly and honestly. As the people of God, we simply must be cared for. We must be told what to do. In fact, if we're going to be used to the God of the universe building his kingdom, we have to be told what to do. Why else would we preserve the teachings of Jesus were this not true? So let us agree that we need to be told what to do. Seriously. So there are two things that I must communicate to you in all honesty. First of all, we are saved simply by believing in the work of our Lord Jesus, who gave himself willingly to the cross for us. This is the minimum offering from us to the Lord and God of the universe in order to receive the salvation that he so wants to impart to every single person. Everyone. That's it. You want to be saved? Do that. And it is done. Believe and keep the commandments. This is what Jesus has said in Scripture. But if that were all that were available from God in Christ Jesus, there would hardly be the need for the chapter upon chapter of Jesus' teachings. Isn't this right? Nor would there be any need for the continued writings of the New Testament. I mean, if all we want is salvation, seriously, then simply keep the commandments and believe. The same belief that St. Thomas had. But if we begin to wonder, but all that other stuff past the Gospels is all about in Scripture, if we begin to wonder about this part of Scripture, well, then we have to come to a realization that there is something beyond salvation in the future, that there is abundant life in the here and now. There is a journey to wholeness to be had, an approach to the way that we used to be before the fall, even on this side of the veil, friends. There is actually a role for us in God's plan to remake the world, even before the second coming of our Lord Jesus. If one holds this to be true, if you've gone through this and hold this to be true, there is something beyond simple belief. Is that not right? There is peace to be received, and there is comfort in the journey. If we hold to that, then we must get outside of ourselves. Once the people of God catch a vision like this, then we are expanded. We can come to ourselves. We can understand where we actually are. We can see where we may not even quite be out of the safety of the sheepfold just yet. You see, God in Christ offers us abundant life in the pastures outside of the sheepfold, friends. It is there that faith, fed on those rich fields, can blossom into something that touches the lives of others, builds the kingdom of God in the here and now for ourselves and for others. If we can reorient our faith so as to whet our appetite for the shepherd's voice calling us to abundant life outside of the sheepfold, then we will actually see the need for the balance of the New Testament writings. It is then that we need a shepherd for a journey of deep and abiding faith. And it is then that we may well need that shepherd's pole to unlower the backside, unlock those forearms, and begin to take leadership in the kingdom that is to come. I urge you to consider this, because times have changed, friends, and it doesn't take much to see that. The thing is that we don't particularly need St. Mark's to convince people of the saving health of the Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that work for us. We all know this. It says it in the Bible. The kingdom needs St. Mark's to be a part of God's mission, His mission in the world. St. Mark's, where God is worshipped, not because He is only worthy of worship, because we actually need to be strengthened for this work in God's kingdom. St. Mark's, where its people choose to be taught how to go deeper and deeper into a life-giving faith. St. Mark's, where its people invite others to experience the risen Lord and come to learn how to have the abundant life promised to all believers. Friends, there's so much more than we can possibly imagine, than we can possibly think of for a life in Christ. I urge you to consider why believers need a shepherd. It's not to remain in the sheepfold. It is to be guided outside of that. Once any Christian solves these issues, solves these questions for themselves, then know that the leadership of this parish is ready to partner with you moving forward. Moving forward into our future as St. Mark's, part of the kingdom of God in this part of Irving, a beacon for people of faith and for those seeking God. pray with me? O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of thy people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calleth us each by name and follow where he doth lead, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth one God forever and ever. Amen.